There has never been a time in my 35 years doing this when we've had more controversy around really kind of the fundamentals of public education. So we're going to be obviously talking about Common Core standards, testing in alignment with those standards, professional evaluations of teachers and principals also in alignment with those standards, and keep taking into account student performance on tests. Things like digital learning, the technology's impact on the role of the teacher and within the classrooms. What we have just this week, the Regents were talking about career and technical education, another pathway to graduation. That'll be on there. And then things that are almost perennials, like character education and charter schools and full-day kindergarten. Funding for pre-kindergarten is becoming a big topic. The property tax cap and how that relief for that is going to be of significant interest. So there's lots of stuff. Some of the more recent things, Brian, are this issue of unaccompanied minors. Mm-hmm. People, these young children coming up from Central America, landing in our schools, and New York is second only to Texas in the number of children coming into our state and seeking an education.
In fact, the state is now going to do a compliance check of four counties to make sure that they are following the law and they are enrolling these children.
Yeah, it is real. You know, and these are children that are coming in. Oftentimes, they don't know English. They don't speak English. They have significant learning disabilities, emotional problems. I mean, you can imagine the impact this has on these school districts, particularly on Long Island, Westchester County, Rockland County, and New York City.
So you budget for a certain amount of students, then suddenly you've got 50 to 100 more students on your enrollment. How do you handle that?
That's the conundrum. That has been the real problem. You have these children, many of them are undocumented. They're living in households where they claim there is a family member or a guardian that is related to them. Oftentimes, these people are undocumented. It is a very, very complex and difficult situation. Of course, these children are victims. They are not responsible for these problems, but they show up on our shores, and we do have an obligation to find a way to take care of them.
And you mentioned Common Core earlier. Looking at all the campaign ads this election season, it's very, very hard to hear a candidate say, I support the Common Core. Almost all of them are saying, get rid of the Common Core. Let's modify the Common Core. Your organization is not among those.
We haven't been. We've been actually pretty supportive of the higher learning standards. And we believe that every child needs to graduate from our schools, college and career ready. And these standards were built with that sort of mission in mind. But you are right. The Common Core, unfortunately, has become a toxic term. It's been highly politicized. I'm not sure people are paying attention to children, but paying attention to the needs of adults, and that bothers me, but it is what it is. We're going to have a business meeting at our convention where delegates from as many as 400 school districts or more will decide on a number of issues, some of them related to Common Core issues that will kind of recalibrate, perhaps even reposition where our organization is on the issue of Common Core.
Whenever you mention education, how to pay for education is always a main focus. It looks like the property tax cap is here to stay in New York. This is the new reality for districts.
Well, it seems to be. I just saw another new ad from the governor, campaign ad, where he's really stressing the need for lowering, capping, freezing property taxes. And so I assume, as far as he's concerned, this is here to stay, and more the merrier.
What would your recommendation be, if not the property tax cap? What else?
Well, we need to find ways in which we can consolidate our services and cut our costs. We have a significant number of mandates that we are required to address as school districts. Some of these mandates come down from the feds. Some come down from the state. Many of them are not generated locally, but we have to pay for them using local resources. We can find ways to cut costs, special education, health care, energy, a variety of things tied up with collective bargaining agreements are all things that cost significant amounts of money where perhaps there are efficiencies to be had. But honestly, we need to make sure that we have the state paying its fair share. If you're going to cap what we're going to be able to raise locally, you need to be able to make sure that we can meet our cost obligations by providing the proper amount of state aid. And we've had a significant cuts in state aid over the last few years through this thing called the gap elimination adjustment and a freeze on foundation aid. It also comes from the state. We have school districts in this state that are getting less aid from the state than they got in 2008.
When your convention ends in a few days, what do you hope happens? Where do you take this information? What do you do with it?
What I like about our convention is it really does bring all these people together around the issues of the day, the timely, relevant, issue-specific agenda. And we'll have a business meeting, as I mentioned, that I think is a very courageous way for an organization, a membership organization, to establish what you believe in. What your positions are going to be, what you're going to advocate for or against. We don't sit on the sidelines. And this opportunity to bring everybody together to talk this stuff through will position our organization on the front lines. And I'm hopeful that I have a very strong position to work from, and that I will be able to advocate on behalf of my members, and they'll know we're right in line with what they're saying.